from Matthew's Gospel today, we would have found a very different account. And if we were to take both of them literally, then they are irreconcilable. It's not possible to sort of fit them together, because in one, Jesus is born in Bethlehem and having travelled from Nazareth, and you know, and there's the census, and then in Matthew there isn't a census, so there are so many differences between them. But if we are trying to take those accounts literally, it does the gospel writers a disservice, and I think that that's something that's really important for us to remember. So some of you may have heard of John Dominic Crossan, who's a Catholic priest, and in his book, Who is Jesus? Answers to Your Questions About the Historical Jesus, he wrote, "My point is not that those ancient people told literal stories and we are now smart enough to take them symbolically, but that they told them symbolically and we are now dumb enough to take them literally." And so the different accounts of Jesus' birth are not twee stories only suitable for infant school Christmas nativity plays that we should grow out of once we notice the discrepancies. They are both political, with a small p, and religious, and each of those accounts of Jesus' birth has a slightly different focus depending upon the particular audience that the gospel writer was seeking to reach, and the context in which they were writing, and also as for those of you who were here at the carol service yesterday, as Andy mentioned, the fact that the Gospels were written some decades after Jesus' death, and that many of the people involved in writing the stories would not have directly observed the particular incidents. So there will be an element in which kind of detail may have been passed down incorrectly. But actually, this isn't the differences between these stories are not so much about reading something where somebody's got it wrong. It's more about the point that they are trying to make and the context of that. And in this in the account that we have today, where we see that Mary and Joseph, having travelled to Bethlehem for the purposes of this, for a census, which may or may not have been the census that was talked about. It may or may not have been that particular element of Jesus's birth is the bit that is, if you like, factually accurate. But the point that it makes, the meaning of it, is about God coming to earth, coming to be among us, being born as a vulnerable human baby, being cared for by his human parents, with that tenderness and love and concern that human parents lavish on their children, and yet in the context of poverty, of being an outsider, of the circumstances of Jesus's birth, meaning that things hadn't been quite regular and there wasn't somewhere for them to stay, whether those details are literally true, it's the message that this is conveying about this tiny vulnerable child that came into the world like one of us, but who is also the Son of God. And again, the Son of God is was a title that was also sometimes used for emperors, and it signified somebody great, and sometimes that was the emperor themselves that, you know, wanted everybody to say how great they were. And in this case, the people who recognized in Jesus that he was this something special, this Son of God, somebody who in his life, his death and resurrection, we see a way in which we can understand and know God's love ourselves, something of a way in which we can live our lives to fit with God's economy, if you like, with justice and peace and love and hope and joy. And so when we remember Jesus' birth, we remember that he is that greatest gift to all humanity. But it doesn't stop there. The Christmas story is not a story that just remains frozen in first century Palestine. The stories that we read in the Bible, although they were written for a particular people and at a particular time, they still resonate for us down the centuries, because the essential kind of nature of the human condition hasn't changed, and the circumstances that people find themselves in, whether in poverty or as people who are homeless or refugees or as victims of war, all of those scenarios that were happening then also happen nowadays. And so we can retell the stories, and we can take those messages for us today, even though they weren't written specifically with our current circumstances in mind. And as we remember that Jesus was that and is that greatest gift for all of us, the stories demand a response from us. Well, they don't demand, but they invite a response from us. And that response is to recognize that we too are a gift. Each one of us is a gift from God to the world. And the way in which the gift of Jesus, all those years ago, can be continued as we seek to bring those same gifts of peace and joy and love and hope and seeking for justice and looking out for the poor and the marginalized. We are a gift to each other, whether that is just a very small circle of people who we know, or whether we travel the world and have hundreds of friends. Now, many of you may have heard of late of some of the rallies that chap who calls himself Tommy Robinson has held, including one in London recently called Put Christ Back in Christmas. Now, I gather that people have been complaining about the commercialisation of Christmas and getting back to the real meaning of Christmas, apparently since at least the Middle Ages. So it was ever thus. However, the as I think it's fair to say that Christ has never left Christmas. It's the attention of the world, if you like, that that maybe deviates from it. But it's important that we remember which Christ it is that we are thinking about, the Christ that is that gift to the world, and perhaps not the the image of Christ which has sometimes been seen in some of these political rallies. So many of you may be familiar with Billy Bragg, the singer and activist, and he has written a song called "Put Christ Back into Christmas" as a response to the far right events that happened recently, and he does not claim to be a Christian. But he is kind of very keen that that Christianity and faith should not be appropriated or misappropriated by people with other agendas. So I've put together a slideshow of images to help us reflect on that the people for whom Christ came, and how we can also be a gift to those people as we hear that song as well. Thank you. Well, I bought the stocking. Well, I've just bought one of my presents, which is kind of a cheat because I bought it in advance with some Christmas money I knew I was going to get. So actually, I'll come from here because I haven't got the microphone. So some of you know that my family originally come from the Wirral. In fact, my mum went to the same school as Beth, and so I've been a lifelong supporter of Liverpool Football Club, even though as an adopted Brightonian, Brighton are definitely my second team, and I support them every time except when they're playing Liverpool, and then I struggle. Anyway, you will probably also know that the song which is most associated with Liverpool is "You'll Never Walk Alone." And I bought this mug because it has YNWA, "You'll Never Walk Alone," on it. And this, many of you will, I'm sure, know that song comes from the musical Carousel. But actually, the original story on which Carousel was written was written by a Hungarian Jewish guy who lived in Budapest, and he wrote it in the 1920s, I think it was, when Budapest was the place to be, and it was quite wealthy, and the story was about a man living in poverty with his wife, and who was expecting a baby, and he stole some food to feed the family and was killed, and so that wasn't a musical, but that was the basic story, and it wasn't very successful at the time because everybody was kind of living the good life, and they didn't really want to be reminded of what life might be like for those who weren't so fortunate. But as time went on, obviously circumstances changed, and there was the war and the depression and so on, and the guy who wrote the play emigrated to the United States during the Second World War, and when he was there, he sold the rights to his various plays to be translated and adapted as a way of earning money, and he sold the rights to that particular play to Rodgers and Hammerstein, who then adapted it and turned it into the musical Carousel, and then that's where the song "You'll Never Walk Alone" comes in. So it's a slightly convoluted way of identifying that song. Kind of the root of it is a story about the reality of people living in difficult situations, but also showing how that, you know, that so often people want to turn a blind eye to what is going on down the road, that they don't actually want to be reminded of those sort of difficult circumstances. But you don't need to know that to be able to know that it's a good tune and a good song, and that many people, not just those who support Liverpool, find it a very comforting song, and that is, I mean, I guess partly because of the context of it in the musical, but also you can take it in many different ways, and you know, if you're a person of faith, then you might want to, you know, then it might remind you that when things are tough, that that God is always with us. And for people who don't have faith, that it's often something that reminds them of their loved ones and kind of a sense that that somebody is looking after them. And so to kind of bring everything together, we're remembering today, as we do every day, but particularly we remember Jesus as this this precious gift given to us and to all the world, born into whatever the fine detail, into probably pretty inauspicious circumstances, and that Jesus's gift to those who he met and taught and healed was to transform their lives. And that we now have that, we are here because the people whose lives were transformed by Jesus continued to do that. And down the ages, people have passed on that gift. And we now are also in that position to continually pass on that gift. But as we do it, we do not walk alone. And we can, we do not do it in our own strength. But I think that now, as much as any other time, possibly more so, it's important that we quietly, if necessary, and if necessary not so quietly, stand up for the truth of that gift of Jesus, and not let it be appropriated by people who want to ignore the care for the poor, the care for those who are homeless or stateless, and want to make it a more exclusive club. So let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you that you are indeed the greatest gift to us. And we ask that you will work in our hearts and in our lives to enable us to continue to be that gift to others, and to show without fear or favour that your love is for all. We pray this knowing that we do not walk alone, and that you are always present with us in the power of the Holy Spirit, God among us. Amen. And so we sing number 193, if you're using the book, Born in the Night.